Hello and welcome to this episode of Into the Fold. I'm Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. The Hogg Foundation is a mental health grant-making foundation and part of the University of Texas at Austin. To learn about the history of the foundation as well as our numerous grant programs, visit www.hogg.utexas.edu. As always, we welcome your feedback. Let us know what you think. Email us at hogg.com at austin.utexas.edu. Today our topic is the challenge of loving and caring for someone with severe mental illness, but also the potential for family members to act as change agents within the mental health system. Our guest today is Barbara Granger. She is a family involvement specialist for the Texas System of Care Initiative and serves as the family coordinator with Via Hope, Texas Mental Health Resource, a grantee of the Hogg Foundation. She also cares for her adult daughter who has severe emotional challenges. Barbara, I'm delighted to have this chance to speak with you.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
So tell us about your daughter. What has life been like for her and for yourself as her mother?
Well, I must say that life for Kristen has not always been easy. She's 24 now and was adopted as an infant. She has multiple disabilities, and the most significant being her emotional challenges. Early on, we realized that something wasn't right, and by the age of 2, she was diagnosed with a severe hearing loss. And then by 5, it was really apparent to her teacher and to us that there was more going on besides the hearing and communication issues. So we were advised to seek professional advice, and she was given the diagnosis of ADHD. But as she got older, her behaviors continued to digress, and we could really tell that things were more severe than we had originally thought. So her teachers and everyone around her worked really hard to help her be successful, but life was still really, really challenging for us, and there were lots of unanswered questions. We were trying to put the pieces together as best we could, and so looking over her birth history, we realized that the cause of her severe learning disabilities and the extreme emotional impairment was due to having fetal alcohol exposure. And this explained a lot. But by now she was a teenager when we had put this all together. At 15, a few years later, we were able to put another piece of the puzzle together when she was diagnosed with Usher syndrome. And this is when you're born hearing impaired, but then eventually will go blind. All of these aspects really have impacted her emotional responses to life and, again, put the full kind of puzzle together so that we understood who she was as a young person. We're very fortunate through the years to have really great school support and educators who were invested in seeing her be successful. I remember when she graduated, two of her teachers who were helping her high-five themselves and had tears of joy with everyone did. She still lives at home and needs lots of supports, but she is really doing the very best that she can. She struggles with relationships, and she does attend an adult daycare center, and they work real closely with her dad and I to continue to help her be as successful as she can be. Now, personally, as a mom, I've really experienced the full gamut of emotions. As a parent of a child with mental health challenges, life has taken me down roads I could never have imagined. There's uncertainty, not knowing from minute to minute if life will you know, bring a crisis or a calm, not having the answers to our questions, wondering how others are going to accept us and our daughter. And then there's the guilt feeling, like you never are doing enough as a parent to help your child get through life. And grief. We all have dreams for our children, and there's pain in seeing those dreams kind of slip away, even though you know you're doing all that you can for them. Sometimes even there are times of isolation, not being able to share mutual success stories with other parents, like how they're doing in school, or special awards that they get, because those don't normally happen with kids with emotional challenges. Wondering where others like me are, knowing that I can't be the only parent of a child with a mental health challenge, but realizing that in my own extended family, I really was the only one that dealt with this, and then them not understanding how we had to deal with her behaviors in, you know, a different way than was traditional with other children. I was always and still am looking for answers, trying to stay one step ahead of Kristen, trying to anticipate her emotional responses, yet knowing that I'm not in control of those. And this sometimes even leads to feelings of helplessness. But professionally, through all this, she has given me the gift of my job. And I thank her for that multiple times. I started out as a teacher, but as her behaviors escalated, I was being pulled out of the classroom too much and needed to step down. At one point, my husband even lost his job due to her behaviors and others not understanding her family dynamics. It's important for me to express to her how thankful I am that she's a part of our family, and that I wouldn't be the strong advocate that I am today without having gone through all that we've gone through. She really is a blessing.
Okay, so you're an advocate for family involvement.
Yeah.
Now tell me what the family voice is in your own words. Because that's a phrase that you use in the bio that you sent to me, and I was curious about it.
Okay, well, family voice is when a parent or a caregiver realizes that what they say is important, and that we are the experts of our children, and no one can discount that. Professionals, you know, are trained to diagnose and teach parenting strategies with us, but we're the ones who know what will work and what won't. And when we're given the opportunity to share in the decision-making for our children, it validates all the work and time and effort that we put into raising them, and it empowers us to want to help others. So family voice really goes even beyond that, though. It is looking for opportunities to impact society and the mental health profession for all children. So when families find their voice, or when a person finds their voice and can learn to advocate appropriately with others, it is empowering for us to be able to be invited to sit in on the not only the decision-making of our own children, but for others and policies. And so taking our lived experiences and using them to make a difference for others.
Now, it's not uncommon these days to hear about the toll that caregiving can take on the caregiver, you know, whether the issue is mental or physical health challenges. Was there ever a point where your own wellness was an issue, and what kind of self-care do you perform to deal with that?
Well, I would be dishonest to say that self-care has not been a challenge. As a parent, you're always trying to stay on top of everything in your life, your marriage, our older son, Kristen's needs. It's hard to find time for yourself, and it can really take a toll on your emotional well-being. I don't know that I would say that my wellness has been in danger, but it has. I have had to really be intentional with looking for times when I can just get away and do something fun for myself. Just last night, a friend and I went out and made cards and got together, and you know, it was after Kristen had gotten in bed, and just looking for a time that I could have fun. So sometimes at the end of the day, I like to go into my room and read, and it's quiet, and I can kind of escape the stresses of the day. As Kristen's getting older and is more independent, I find that I can focus on self-care a lot more than I did when she was younger. But even now, I still have to, you know, focus on her needs first, and then mine will come along. I have occasionally sought professional help to help me process through all that's going on in our life and how to let go and to balance all that I have going on. And it has helped me to maintain, I guess, the kind of sanity to go out and take on more.
Okay. You're doing work for the Texas System of Care Initiative. And one thing that I was wondering is what a true system of care would look like to you, and how different your world would be if such a thing were to exist. Is that anything that you have any profound or provocative thoughts about?
Well, I don't know how profound or provocative, but I love the philosophy behind System of Care. It's bringing community leaders along with family and youth to the table, so to speak, to look into policies and effective strategies that will help improve services and outcomes for children's mental health. A true system of care doesn't just bring families to the table to say that they have them there, but will really actively seek their input and recognize them as family experts. Families are really busy and only want to be involved in activities that will positively impact their immediate family and then possibly the outcomes, you know, for other people, helping people to not have to go through what they've been through. So it's exciting when communities do ask families to be at the table. And I believe the more families you have there, the better, the stronger the voice will be, because it's not about one family, it's about multiple families, because all of us have different challenges in our life, and we can bring different skill sets and assets to the table. How would my life be different? I didn't even know what system of care meant when Kristen was younger. I had been in the private mental health sector, so it really wasn't something that was brought to my attention. I lots of times felt like I was the lone crusader for her, and I am very grateful for the school recognizing that I was an invested parent, and they gave me multiple opportunities to learn all that I could to help her. If I could have brought everyone to the table at that point in her life, who knows how much quicker we would have found the answers and been able to help her on her road to success. So I was very excited when I was first introduced to the system of care approach, and I really embraced it. It gave me the opportunity to strengthen my voice and to really want to help other people. I knew that it was a life-changing event, and that it was something that I wanted to be involved in for as long as I could.
My next question is, I guess it touches on a subject about which there's often pretty intense debate. Now, as a mother, as a mom, it's natural that you'd want to pull out all the stops to help Kristen. But at the same time, and I'm sure you know, there's an argument that, you know, that people, even people with severe mental health conditions, you know, should have their, you know, their autonomy respected like everyone else, I guess, to the extent possible. So, and one thing that I often wonder in talking to, you know, to parents in particular, is how tough it is to find that balance, and what kinds of accommodations or compromises have you been, you know, able to make yourself?
Well, to be honest, it is no easy feat. As a parent of a young adult who has a younger emotional age and comprehension level, my instinct is to continue to make those decisions for her. But we're learning as she is getting older to give her more opportunities to make those decisions for herself. And I found how empowering that is for her, just as it was empowering for me when I was given that same opportunity. So a few years ago, she and I were asked to serve on an advisory committee for foster care reform for youth with emotional and developmental delays. And I was very hesitant on putting her with a group of professionals, but they wanted to have a youth representative that kind of fit the bill. And she did. She had been adopted, and she definitely has the intellectual delays and severe emotional challenges. So I was very proud of her. She found her voice, and many times bringing the discussion back to the reality of who she was and who she was representing. And I think that was kind of the defining moment for me, to realize that she was coming into her own and that I needed to let her fly. We all have expectations, and she's never going to be the typical 24, 25-year-old adult that most of us think about, but she does have a voice, and she does have a mind, and she should be involved in everything. But again, it isn't easy. We're helping us, you know, moving from a very family-driven home environment to what the mental health field calls person-centered planning. You know, letting her be the driving force in her plans. And so as a parent, I've worked really hard, and I've struggled to help her be successful. So I would be remiss in saying it's not easy letting go and allowing her to take over.
I really do appreciate you joining us and just sharing your experience. And thank you for all of the, you know, the really great insight and information.
Well, thanks. I really enjoy being able to share our story. I think it's important for other families to realize that we all have challenges. They just look different from family to family. And it's important that not only, you know, families with children with severe emotional issues, but other families, you know, have the opportunity to rise and to share their lived experiences and help others learn. So I appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. Barbara, thanks a lot.
Before we close, a few news items I would like to share. Earlier in the month of September, the Foundation hosted its biannual Robert Lee Sutherland Seminar. The theme for RLS 18 was The State of Mental Health Recovery, Research, Training, and Practice. The live stream from the opening day's plenaries is now viewable on YouTube. Visit youtube.com/hogfoundation to take a look. In grant news, we have an open RFP for our recovery-oriented research grant. For anyone who may be interested, you have until March of 2015 to apply. For more information, visit our website And that's it for this episode of Into the Fold. Please like us on Facebook and check us out on Twitter @HogFoundation. Thanks for joining us.